You know, when I was a kid, I had this irrational fear. I believed that there was a monster underneath my bed. Maybe you had that same kind of fear. I had this irrational fear. There was this monster under my bed. And I mean, I wouldn't even sleep on the side of the bed. I would sleep in the middle of the bed with my hands kind of plastered down at my side for fear that somehow I might roll too close to the edge and my hand would go over that edge of the bed. And man, I'd be snapped up by this monster under my bed and taken away to some netherworld. I couldn't even imagine the horrors of that. The only thing that could dispel this irrational fear was facts. Cold, hard, sight, sound, touch, facts. And my dad helped me find those. One night when I was particularly afraid, my dad, I heard him come into my room. And I heard him say, "Don't be afraid." And then he helped me do the one thing that I could never have done myself. He helped me to see. He helped me look down under that bed and feel around under there and see and feel that there was nobody there. And when that happened, when I had those facts in front of me, everything that I once believed, I no longer believed. It was all replaced by a faith rooted in fact. And I think that that is the message and the beauty of Easter. You know, on that first resurrection Sunday, as Mary, that disciple of Jesus, came up to the tomb where Jesus had been placed in those pre-dawn hours, there was more than just darkness in the sky. There was a darkness and an emptiness that had descended over Mary and all of those disciples of Jesus. All of them had once believed that they were on the cusp. They were at the beginning of a brand new day when God's hand would be upon their nation, when the righteous would be rewarded, when the sick would be made well, when the cheated would be made whole, when the poor would be lifted up, and when the promise of God's kingdom on earth would be realized. But all of that came crashing down when Jesus was crucified. And they could not figure it out. It was inexplicable to them. I mean, how could it be that the one who had calmed the seas could not turn back his attackers? How could it be that the one who answered blindness with sight and answered tortured minds with peace could not answer his accusers or stop his own torture? How is it that the one who raised Lazarus from the dead could not stop his own death on the cross? And those past 48 hours to Jesus' disciples, man, it was more than sadness. It was beyond tragedy. It was almost like a betrayal. Where had Jesus' power been and why hadn't he used it? Where was God? Why had he allowed this to happen? Where was Jesus, Heavenly Father, to whom he had prayed so beautifully and whose power was so marvelously seen in Jesus? Why had he abandoned his son? And why had they both abandoned Jesus' disciples? So it's with that kind of darkness and that kind of emptiness and that kind of fear of what might be happening next that Mary approached that tomb and saw that stone rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, and immediately her mind went to the worst case scenario. Somebody, Jesus' enemies, had come and taken his body away. The ones who had taken his life were now going to desecrate his body in death. So she ran up to get Peter and John, the other disciples, where they were staying, and they came running down to that tomb. And Peter, of course, the bold one, he ran right into that tomb. And he saw that what Mary said was true. The tomb was empty. But John, who'd got there first, he peeked in, but then he wouldn't even go in. He was like, I'm sure he was, man, I don't know What good could come of looking in that? I don't even want to look in the tomb. The story is not getting any better. But finally, you know, Peter came out. And John, imagine he screwed up his courage a little bit. And he took those steps. And he looked into the tomb. And Scripture says that when he did, something changed in him. He saw. And he saw those linen strips that had once covered Jesus' body. They were lying where Jesus had once laid. He saw that covering over that had once been over his face, folded neatly and placed where Jesus' head had been. And all of those facts, all of those things he saw, began to add up to one great, big, beautiful fact. And that was the one thing that they had learned, the one thing that they had understood through all of their time with Jesus, the one fact, the thing that they had seen over and over again and heard over and over again and experienced over and over again, the one thing that John, I'm sure, in that moment remembered that he knew was that where Jesus had been, wherever Jesus had been, and wherever Jesus was, and wherever Jesus ever went, there was hope. This wasn't an ordinary tomb. This is where Jesus had been, and where he had been, and wherever he was, and wherever he went, there was always hope. And Scripture says, when he put all of those facts together, he believed. Now, it doesn't say what he believed, but I can believe that he at least believed that this story of Jesus' life and their life with Jesus was not over yet, that there was more to come. Where Jesus has been, where Jesus is, and wherever Jesus can be found, there is hope and there is victory. And friends, you and I can believe that today. We are living through uncertain times. There's no way that 2 months ago any one of us would have believed that on this resurrection morning we would all be apart from one another. And we still don't know where this is going. As a matter of public health, we don't know where it's going. Economically, we don't know where it's going. Even in the impact that this could have on your life or my life or this congregation, we don't know where this is going. And, you know, in that sense, this resurrection day is a lot more like that first resurrection day than anyone I've ever experienced. It's full of uncertainty. But listen, Christians, we can be certain of one thing, that on that first resurrection day, that tomb was empty. And that empty tomb, for those disciples and for us, is a gift from God that is uniquely tailored to beat back any fear, to dispel any darkness, to fill any empty places in our hearts, no matter what the cause, with hope and with victory. And that goes for now during these uncertain times, as it has always gone for all of our uncertain times, when relationships are ended, when plans are upended, when our expectations are not met, when illness intrudes, even when death comes. We know where Jesus has been, where Jesus is, and wherever Jesus can be found, there is hope. And I say, wherever Jesus has been, and wherever Jesus can be found, specifically today, in part thinking of anyone out there who's listening today who may have once known Jesus. And somehow your faith just slipped away. Or anyone out there who has never had that faith, never had that assurance, but desires it today. What you have lost can be recovered. What you seek will be found. And Jesus is waiting for you. Well, John came out of that tomb, and even though he didn't say anything about it at the time, what he had seen, those facts, all added up to a glimmer of hope in his heart. And I just wonder if he was wondering where Jesus might be waiting for them. And even though Scripture says that Peter and John, they came out of the tomb and they're kind of in shock and they kind of just wandered away and they left Mary just standing there by the entrance to the tomb and she's just crying and she's probably shaking and sobbing. Still, there was a hope that they had and there was a hope that was realized beyond their wildest dreams, because while she stood there, as Mary stood there, just sobbing, she heard the voice of Jesus call her by name, Mary. And she turned around, and there was Jesus. And she grabbed hold of him so tight as a person who is afraid to wake up from a dream that is just so beautiful they can't believe it. But it wasn't a dream. It was real. Jesus really was standing right there with her. And he said, Mary, don't hold on to me so tightly, for I have not gone to return to God, to my Father. But instead, go and tell my brothers that I will be returning to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. In other words, you don't have to hold me so tightly here, Mary, because where I'm going, I will be with you everywhere and always. And where I am, there is hope. Listen, Paul, the Apostle Paul later, he would say, if you proclaim with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this is a fact. That's a fact that follows from that one great fact, that on that morning, that tomb was empty. On that morning, Jesus' disciples saw him alive again. And from that day on, all that despair and all that fear and all that emptiness was filled with a gigantic hope that propelled them for the rest of their lives. They went out the rest of their lives and gave their lives proclaiming those facts. And the church that they established went on to change the world, change the way the world looks at morality and ethics and science and human dignity, showed the way to forgiveness of sins and eternal life when to those who repent and turn to Jesus in trust, and proved to all who lived then, to all who live now, that where Jesus has been, where Jesus is, and wherever Jesus can be found, there is hope and there is victory. And we can believe that. We can believe that. We can believe that. Praise God. And happy Easter to you. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the miracle of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. That in that glorious moment, O God, you proved your love for us, your power in the world, and your grace that is never ending and is always calling us by name. O Lord, May it be that we see, that we hear, and that in the company of those you've brought together as your church, we feel your love with us. Let our faith grow in grace and in truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, we have a really cool thing going on. We're going to pray together. And as we've done in the past, I'm just going to have some silent time. But the thing is, if you're watching on YouTube, there's a little place where you can actually chat with us. So if you want to write in your prayers, we're going to try and pick up on those prayers. And if you're on Facebook, same thing. If you want to put in your names or a short prayer that you would like lifted up today, please go ahead and do that now. Ms. Whitney is going to help me understand what those prayers are today. So let us pray. So we have prayers for my wife's brother, Dave, who is recovering, thank God, today from a very close brush with this disease. We just praise God for his recovery. And prayers for all the doctors and nurses and the people on those front lines today. We ask, oh God, your power, your grace with them, strength for them, immunity for them. And we pray for all their families, oh God, who every day must be anxious as they go out to serve. We praise you, oh God, for your grace and your glory shown in those selfless acts. Amen. Prayers for all who are unable to be together today, and prayers for those who have lost loved ones. May the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, bring comfort in those places, O God. Okay. Heavenly Father, we do praise you today that we can meet this way. We know, O God, that you know the prayers of our hearts, that you know the story behind each name that is in our heart today, people for whom we are concerned. We also know, God, that by your great grace and your great power and your Holy Spirit, you are in those places, you are with those persons, bringing comfort, bringing healing, bringing a word of assurance, O God. We pray with confidence every day, O God, that you hear our prayers and one way or the other, you answer our prayers. It's the beauty of our faith that we trust in you, no matter what. So, Lord, hear us as we pray together now in trust. Your prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, everybody, so happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day. I just ask again that you stay connected with us, stay connected with each other. If somebody from our church family especially pops into your mind, give them a call. And hopefully, let's pray that this will be over soon, and we will once again be shoulder to shoulder, or maybe even 6 feet apart, I don't know, I don't care. But somehow, together again very soon. Praise God, and goodbye.